Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reblame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, and actor Harry Styles.
This week in episode 24, we're going to take a deep dive into Harry's You Are Home campaign and discuss the HS3 announcement, or should we say Harry's house.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week, Gray?
So, Key, how many bottles of pleasing nail polish do you think that I have in my house right now? What is your guess?
Three?
It's more than three. I have managed to accumulate, as of now, nine. He's gotten nine bottles of nail polish out of me, Key.
How many has he even released?
He's released...
nine?
So he's released eight. And like,
what? Oh, you see, I have two.
So what happened was, like, when he was selling his initial set, it initially seemed like the white one was the only one he was selling, and I wasn't sure if it was like limited edition. So I had bought the white polish, the pleasing pearl or whatever, and then I realized that the other nail polishes were on sale, and so I bought the whole like four pack because I wanted the pink and black ones. And I was like, well, I'll eventually give, you know, one of these extra ones to my mom. And then he started selling Shroom Bloom. And I was like, I still want it. So I have nine bottles of pleasing in my house as we are speaking. Wow. And he has only made eight colors.
Yeah, that's definitely much more than I... Like, I was like, okay, I'll lowball it and say three, thinking maybe there was more, but I really didn't expect nine, so...
Nine.
There you have it.
Yeah, we can all shame me in the We Blame Harry Styles email account. All right, Key, so what do you blame Harry Styles for this week?
Well, as per usual with us, it wasn't that I was asleep this time during the announcement of Harry's house, but I was in the middle of a work meeting, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And typical. I was really trying to, like it was one of those things where it's like I was on the Zoom meeting, and I like had my phone up against mm-hmm. my laptop screen, and I was like scrolling, but I was like trying to look like my eyes weren't like scrolling, mm-hmm. and I was paying attention to the meeting, but I wasn't paying any attention to the meeting, mm-hmm. so... If that's mentioned in a performance review, I think we all know who to blame for that.
I think all of us have some blaming on Harry Styles to do for potential performance reviews in the next quarter. He certainly has disturbed many of my work days this past week, and it seems as though for the next few months he will continue to. He is a demon, as we have established.
He is, and this is, we're really in the golden age here, folks, because we have never actually done this podcast, like, when things were happening, and, like, that's not true because he did an entire tour, and that was, like, a massive thing that was happening, but, like, this is, like, the biggest time, this is gonna be our biggest time, like, album release is, like, it's just, I don't know, it's so exciting. Maybe in the fall when, like, two different movies come out that he's in, it'll be some sort of, like, but even then, it's, like, you have two movies and they're like discrete, like mm-hmm. 2 to 3 hour like experiences that begin and end. But with an album, it's like,
you know,
for the next 2 months, we're going to be having so many things to talk about. So yeah, it's just exciting and a little bit overwhelming to think about covering all of them on this show. But yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
And as we'll get into, it's so funny because in this position, Key and I are obviously not full-time podcasters. And so we're trying to manage... We're trying to manage, like,
not even part-time podcasters. No. We make no money on this.
We make $0 on this. And so we're kind of attempting to balance, like, our regular life obligations, including full-time work. And then also we have to, like, predict how Harry Styles is going to behave week to week, which is, like, already beyond my capacities, even if I was unemployed. As we'll get into, I managed to predict this album cycle, but a year behind.
So did you predict?
Okay. All right. So, like, listeners, listen, if you listen back to our TPWK episode, you will find our clowning is honestly, like, kind of accurate if you just, like, change everything from 2021 to 2022.
and forget about all the stuff that we got wrong. Like, under those parameters, we were really accurate.
Right.
So
we were really close. We actually didn't.
Where's our recognition? That's what I want.
No, okay. We didn't get a lot wrong, I think. But you will have to.
I was manifesting a painting for the album cover. I was throwing out the color green.
Okay.
Were any of those things on the mark? I don't think so.
Well, so, like, technically, well, we'll get into it. Technically, there are some drawings in the You Are Home campaign. So, not totally far off.
That's true. There was artwork. So, under that broad category, I think there was an album cover, which we were right about.
Yes.
He's releasing music, which we were right about.
Yes.
So, there's a lot of overlap between our predictions here.
Yes.
So, before we get into all that, Gray, do you want to just take us through kind of, like,
the non-Harry
Styles third album related news?
Yes, I will take us in brief through the news. We have to do...
This is really going to be rapid fire.
Yes. So, rapid fire. Oh, boom. He was seen filming another music video in a long red coat in February. What was he filming? We don't know. He looked sexy. He seemed to be with friends. We'll have to go and see what was going to happen with that. I personally thought it was going to be another magazine. And then I was brutally destroyed on Twitter when William Defoe...
That was a bad take by you.
When William Defoe was on the cover of another magazine and not Harry Styles. Although he thought that it might be Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise was not on the cover. So
it
I guess...
said Maverick. Top Gun Maverick. Anybody? does our audience overlap with the projected audience of Top Gun Maverick by even one person? I'm not sure.
Nope,
it
does not. And that's okay.
But yeah, so very much, very, very likely to be another music
yes,
video.
So I'm super excited about that. So Shroom Bloom is Harry Styles' next... Well, it's the pleasing brand. It's pleasing.
The next micro drop, as they called it.
The next micro drop. So they released four new colors of nail polish, and they made like a little like a frog girlfriend for me. We're gonna get married, and she holds a little flower, and she's so cute. And Mick Fleetwood wore the nail polish, and like he wore like wizard clothes in Vogue, and
it was great.
He said nice things about Harry, and that was really dope. And then my favorite part of the campaign, well, on top of the psychedelic visuals, of course, that were very beautiful, was a little frog that they named Cheese that they found in Manhattan that posed with the Shroom Bloom set.
A model, an icon.
Like many little boys, I longed for a pet frog when I was a child. And my mother, like to most little boys, said, no, you can't, we're not having a frog in the house. And I was, and I have had my desires reignited in my heart because Cheese
the
Frog.
Wow, this really brought that back.
It's brought a lot back for me. It's brought back some childhood trauma, I guess I will say.
yeah, what I want to say about all of this is that, so, like, we would have, like, if Harry's fucking third album hadn't been announced, like, we would have talked a lot about the pleasing visuals because they're amazing.
They're great.
And I really, really love them. And yeah, we just got to brush past it because we have an entire album's worth of visuals to talk about. But yeah, I loved those, and they were really, really great.
I know. This is like if he drops an album and then like is on SNL the same week, our reviews are our episode's just gonna have to be like, so like key rapid fire, how do you think of like all like each sketch in SNL?
Right. And then it's like before we were like, there's a rumor that Pleasing is releasing a single nail polish color. Let's stretch this out to 20 minutes of coverage. Like, yeah, it's really, yeah, it's really black and white over here in terms of the on and the off season. But yeah, what about the some of Harry's clothing featuring in the V&A?
Yes. So Fashioning Masculinities is an exhibition at the V&A Museum in London. And basically, it's kind of like an analysis of like the history of men's fashion and sort of the changing notions of masculinities over the past few centuries. And clothes that Harry has worn are featuring in the exhibition, his blue Gucci suit and the dress that he wore on the cover of Vogue magazine. And so if anybody wants to buy me the $60 accompanying book to this this exhibition, please get in contact with me. I will set up a P.O. box specifically so you can send me the book, because it is quite a lot of money for a book that I do very much want for an exhibition I can't attend. But if any of our listeners attend the V&A, I know that one of our listeners definitely will be, and so I'm excited for juice on that. But if any of our other listeners who I have not spoken to about it yet attends that exhibition, feel free to contact us on the email or like anything else like that, and please tell me how it is, because I want to know. But we have to move past it. Our fourth piece of news is that My Policeman did a screening in California, and Key, would you say that the screening stayed under wraps and we don't know anything about
Lock and Key? Who knows that really it even happened? Not a word of it reached my ears. Absolutely no one broke their very tenuously, basically pinky promised non-disclosure agreement. So we won't talk too much about that because we're not going to reveal our extremely, extremely secret source on that.
Right.
But yeah, allegedly there was a My Policeman showing that went rather well. And allegedly that is a movie that we will see allegedly at some point.
Yes, allegedly. I am very excited based upon the things that I've been told about the film. It sounds amazing. And it definitely was all the rage on Harry Twitter. That is definitely another thing where if we had more time, we probably would have spent a little bit more time in it. But, things are happening. We will talk about My Policeman when we get there. But Harry wants us to focus on his album right now.
So let's use that to get right into it. So first, we have the You Are Home campaign. Oh God, where do we even start on this? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into the album all in due time. But first, before the lead up to this album, you can thank Harry for us having all this other stuff to talk about, because surprise, surprise, Eroda 2.0, we have this whole social media marketing campaign, mm-hmm. even goes beyond social media. We have newspapers involved here. We're mm-hmm. we're bringing it back to the decades to when people did newspaper advertising, very Harry Styles core. So let's kind of go through this campaign. So kind of starting, and we just want to shout out that a lot of compilation of this information goes out to Michaela at Michaela Sobel, who hosts the podcast Don't At Me, which kind of explores the behind the scenes of artists versus copyright law. So Michaela has done a lot of compilations of fan theories and pieces of information about this campaign and kind of a history of all these things coming together. So if you want more info about that, you can check out the link that's going to be in our description. But just to get right into it, so seems like people kind of found the You Are Home website, Twitter, Instagram stuff due to some newspaper ads. Whether or not this was planted some mm-hmm. of the Eroda stuff was, we shall not No. Then there was a Discord server linked in the Twitter and Instagram account. The source code and the website had coordinates, so there was a lot of stuff going on. People started to find ads that matched up with the coordinates in the website source code. There were papers all over the world, papers found in the US, the UK, Mexico, all over the world. So there was a lot going on here. And great, would you say when this kind of first stage of this was happening, did you believe it was Harry at first? What was kind of going through your mind when all these conversations were happening on social media?
So the campaign kind of started on the 11th, and then the door opened on the 19th, and I kind of started believing, I think around midweek, or at least I started thinking maybe it could be something, I don't know. So I went into the Discord server around midweek, and it was just kind of very busy and a little confusing. And so I just kind of let it sit in my tab there, just thinking maybe it's a thing. But then as soon as the door opened, I was actually out with a fellow Harry friend that day. And we had been talking about how You Are Home was happening, and we were thinking that it was probably something. And then literally, we were out together, and the door opened. And it was kind of this magical Harry moment, because I turned to her, and I was like, Harry friend, the door opened. And she was like, wait. And I was like, the door opened. And she was like, oh. And she was like, what is it open to? And I was like, it opens to a Ralph Waldo Emerson book. She was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, not that you You didn't look at this image and immediately know it was an Emerson book, right? Did you? That would shock me.
No, I didn't. I opened it and then I immediately went to the timeline, and then I was like, oh, people were saying that it was like a picture of a book.
Yeah, so that was kind of like the first theory. But we have like, yeah, so we have like these ads in the newspaper. I had no reason to think that this was Harry at this point. I was kind of like, eh, whatever, I'm along for the ride, like, mm-hmm. I'll pay attention. But I had no stake in it. I was not like emotionally invested. I was like, okay, whatever, we'll see. And then we've got, yeah, so then we have the account itself tweeting, "You're home." We've got these door images. So, and then the first one that you're talking about is like these, it's like, is it like I would say like trees, plants, like stalks, like, yeah, whatever. It's like this stalk. Yeah. And so we have "The door is open, come on in," as like the tweet that was accompanying that. So when that first happened, people were like, oh my God, it's the Emerson book. Like, what does this mean? Blah, blah, blah. People were kind of speculating. There wasn't anything definitive. There weren't any leading theories. Then we got this second door opening that was like this gradient of like blue, purple, red tweet. What happens in between colors? So people are like, okay, that sounds like a lyric. I remember people saying that, or like a riddle. Mm-hmm. So people are trying to solve the riddle. There are other people that thought it was a lyric. It was like, yeah. So then we've got this prevailing theory that happened at this time, which was, okay, that looks like a Murakami book cover. Like, these are book covers. This is like the album's bibliography, which tragically did not end up even lasting one more door.
Last one more door.
Because the following one was just an upside down photo of the Earth with the tweet, "In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was," which is like obviously a lyric, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was kind of like the progression there. So yeah, then we've got the mushroom door, "What are you doing here?" being the lyric. And then we're jumping to March 23rd, which was the Harry's House announcement. But crucially, I think, now I'm interested to hear what you're going to have to say about this. Crucially, in between these two things happening, we have a big snafu by the company known as Target. Because, this thing quickly gained traction that the people who could work at Target, like, there's some sort of like, I mean, if you're a Target employee, write in and explain this to us. But my understanding of it was, if you're an employee at Target, there's like some sort of portal that like can show you stock that's like coming
right,
in.
Right.
And people could see Harry's album, not the cover, but the name, Harry's House, and the date for when it was going to come out. So this is like at first people are like, is this legit? Is it Photoshopped? Whatever. But pretty soon it became clear, at least to me, that it was legit.
Right,
so
right.
I, at this time, was like, okay, I believe it now. That's kind of like what got me, because I was like, oh, Harry's House, "You Are Home." Mm-hmm. Like, I did vacillate wildly, where I would be like 5 minutes, I would be like, oh my God, it's him. This is legit. And then like 5 minutes later, I would lose confidence. I'd be like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, this is obviously not him. People were thinking it was Jack Harlow. There's all this stuff. But that's kind of what the Target kind of snafu there was, kind of what clued me into this. And I kind of think that it's my, like, I don't know. I kind of think that maybe that's why on the 23rd, we heard that. But tell me if I'm wrong. Like, do you have another theory for why we got the album announcement on that day?
I think that, like, we got the album announcement on that day because he just wanted that to be the day. Like, I don't know if there was, like, super... I think that, Welcome Home is such, like, a fitting accompaniment for this image. You know what I mean? And I feel like, at least in my thought... and we can discuss this more, but I think that, like, the track listing is each door per day is, like, one song. And so I think that, like, track 5 of this must have something to do with, like, the...
You Are Home, Harry's House, if it's a title track, whatever.
Right,
yeah.
And I feel like, maybe even, like, because, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but, like, on the cover, when Harry Lambert promoted the cover on his Instagram, he tagged the choreographer Paul Roberts, who worked on the TPWK music video, and he probably wouldn't be tagged in a cover art for the album if it wasn't like there wasn't like some sort of like dance incorporated into something with this image. So this is probably like, I don't know, probably something music video related. I'm not sure, actually. But, like, He was
it could
tapped.
Be, or he could just be like, there's movement, like a choreographer could do a lot more than dance, right? There's like movement, there's
True.
so I think there's like there's stuff that could be happening there. But yeah, I think that's what I was gonna bring up. I think like there's a chance, if people are right, that this is like the way that he's kind of hinting at the track list for the album, and each of these doors is like a new song and we have this order, then like it makes sense to drop the album cover on the day that corresponds to the title track or to the track that like most is associated with these kind of these terms in this campaign, welcome home, like that sort of thing. So I really like that idea, and I think that makes sense. I would prefer that than having them have to like drop it ahead of time, more like earlier than they were planning, because like people could see it in the Target portal. But
yeah, no, I don't think it had to do with the Target portal. I don't think so.
But it did happen right before that. Like, it's just interesting that people would know the title ahead of time. I don't remember that happening with Fine Line, but maybe I'm. Maybe I'm just not remembering. But yeah. So after that, we kind of had like this idea for what this was, and like people had all these theories, and everybody was freaking the fuck out. And we'll talk more about our thoughts on the album cover specifically later. But yeah, this has continued. So on March 24th, we got The Grapes with the much discussed tweet, Pearls of Pleasure.
I'm sick of this man.
I kind of think we should just let that one sit here.
I'm sick of this man. I'm not ready to sexualize grapes. I'm not. I know that
it's the new fruit. We were like, what fruit's going to be on the next album?
I know.
He really just, he gave it to us right away. There was no waiting. There was no edging. He was just like, here's the fruit. So we should be satisfied in that respect.
I realized that like the ancient Romans were really good at sexualizing grapes and like viewed it as part of like their celebrations. I'm going to need some time to adjust to grapes becoming sexual again. I think I'm going to be able to get there mentally, but I'm not quite prepared yet.
So good on him for giving you this early so that you can mentally expect that at some point in the future.
I'm mentally and emotionally preparing to sexualize grapes. And whatever pearls of pleasure are. Yeah, I'm done with this man. I'm not.
So for this last one, so, you know, you've probably seen more, you know, since we have posted this, because Lord knows I'm not going to get this up by tomorrow at noon. That's a laughable concept. So the last one that we've seen as of this recording is the Marigold photo with the tweet, whisper to your houseplants, sing to your neighbors, which is the most fucking adorable freaking, I'm turning into the dad from that Christmas movie that I don't like, that just like grumbles and swears, because I just that lyric is great, and I hope it's a lyric, and I'm looking forward to that song because I really like that lyric.
I know, I really like it too. Yeah, no, I was chatting with a friend earlier, and we were just talking about like how when you are listening to somebody's music and when you're consuming somebody's art, I guess is the word for it. You know, we've all been through like this very collective, serious, traumatic thing. And I guess wondering how Harry has been processing it has been on my mind, especially because he's like so good at articulating, I feel like in some ways articulating like emotions of crisis. And so like seeing this, I was like, oh, the song is going to destroy me. Okay.
Right. So like that kind of brings us into like an interesting question, which is like, what do we think that these images, this campaign, the tweets, like all of this kind of comes together to say about the potential album, to like make us expect about the future? Like the point of something like this is to generate hype for fans. I think it's going to be really fun once we have the album to look back on this whole campaign and kind of like retrofit everything once we can fit everything together. And that'll be really satisfying because it seems like it's very well planned out and they have like a specific thing in mind. But yeah, just with these images and like these kind of quotation marks, like, yeah, what do you think this kind of means for the album, and what do you think it means, yeah, for what we can expect going forwards?
It seems very cozy. And I definitely like that. And it seems like it's very focused on like the home.
Wow, you're blowing my mind with that analysis, Gray. The You Are Home campaign. Wow,
no,
never would have put that
but
together.
But it seems like it's focused on like things like reading books and doing puzzles and like, because the mushroom picture is pictures of puzzles, and like I'm very curious to see where all of this goes, because I definitely have my thoughts, but I feel like whatever I'm speculating is just probably not very good. It just seems like a very like homey album. Like I guess like my one thing, and I did I think I might have posted this on Twitter, but I was just saying like Bo Burnham's Inside is the moon girlfriend to whatever album Harry's House is, because I feel like Harry's House is going to cover some of the similar themes of like coping with isolation and pandemic trauma and trying to, you know, figure out how to like process what you're going through and like figure out how to process the connections you have or that you lose. And I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways, Bo Burnham's Inside, you know, address some of those questions. And so I do find that to be a theme in a lot of art that's coming out right now, like, because we all kind of went through a pretty significant life-changing event. If you remember, there was like a pandemic and still kind of is.
Yeah, I was going to say was. Is not even the word I would use for that.
Well, it is the word that the New York City mayor would use for the pandemic.
It's true. But yeah, but I think like what you're speaking to, and I think what speaks to me about these images is like, and something that I was immediately really excited for when I was thinking about if this had to do with Harry's album campaign, which lo and behold, of course it did, is like the idea of architecture is something that I find really interesting and like a very fertile ground for like visuals for an album and for like, you know, language, for creative language on an album and lyrics and things like that. Like I think there was somebody had this great Twitter thread, and I'll endeavor to find it and link in the description. Apologies if I can't find it, but on like architecture in Harry Styles in the first album and like the way that he uses hallways and like doors and like that's already images that he's played with before on his first album. And so I think it's interesting to think how all that's going to kind of come into play here. I think there's like such fertile ground here in like different rooms that you can play with and the things he's already doing here with like doors and like architecture like that.
Well, and he like has talked about in his post, I guess, first quarantine interviews for Vogue and for Dazed, he talked about Alain de Botton and his writing style architecture both times. So I feel like he finds it to be really like a fertile ground for conversations about like emotion, architecture.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely true. And I think it just makes sense. Like something that I pull from all of these is that like I think, you know, what quote unquote like a quarantine record like means, I think is something that he's going to be unpacking. And I look forward to him unpacking throughout this whole promotional cycle. Like, I can just see that conversation between him and Zane Lowe right now. Like, is this a quarantine record? Like, what does that mean for you? Like, X, Y, and Z. And I think, like, I can see so much of that in this imagery and, like, the, you know, whispering to your plants. And, like, there's this, I think it makes so much sense. Because I think there's so many different avenues you could go to with, like, a quarantine record or, like, with a, you know, with this time. And I think there's so many ways you could go that are like not good and that like people don't want to re-explore. And you could go down so many dangerous roads here in like things that might be disrespectful or like that wouldn't quite read right, especially like as time goes on and it wouldn't age well. But I think focusing on the home and the house, not only is there that double meaning there, like home means a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean the literal place in which you live. And so I think like, and we'll get later to the video, but I think there's that video, the promotional video kind of lends itself to different interpretations of the word home. But at the same time, that literal interpretation, your literal house, Harry's house, the title of the album, I think makes so much sense to focus in on that when you're thinking about writing and you write during a time in which you're stuck in your house. And not everybody was stuck in their house, but a lot of people were. So I think that's just really fertile ground. And I look forward to seeing all of that explored. I think, yeah, Bo Burnham's Inside, I don't think I liked it as much as you did, but I did like it. And I wouldn't say that there's a ton of art that I've seen or heard that does kind of speak to this time, whether in a more direct way or an abstract way, which I think is going to speak a little bit more to me. So I'm excited to see how this all kind of comes together and for the album, the music videos and everything.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited also.
I just wanted to shout out when talking about that with this campaign too, that we didn't really talk about the initial ads for the campaign that were in the newspapers, but there were some quotes from the illustrator for those ads, the You Are Home ads that were appearing in the papers by Maggie Cowles, I think is how you would say that name, that I just really liked some quotes by Maggie that were talking about like some of the work that that artist has produced in this time. Like the work explores how rooms can be full even when they're empty, or Maggie released a collection called A Year by Myself. So there's like a lot of quarantine stuff there. Like what reads as an inviting feast slowly devolves into a questionable Alice in Wonderland delusion. Like collectively, these drawings reflect the mix of emotions felt during the pandemic via this concept of like food memories. So that's kind of like heady stuff. But yeah, just this idea of kind of using this artist who's used art to explore isolation in this time for those ads, I think speaks to the fact that it's on the brain for this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how all of that plays into the album. So kind of like the last question is like a little bit of a throwback to stuff we've talked about because we've talked more about Fine Line on this show. How do you think this compares to the Erota campaign? I think that's like the most obvious like analogous event that we're aware of in terms of Harry with this. And do you think Harry should keep doing this kind of marketing that's, you know, that he's clearly pulled from two distinct times? So it's clearly something that he's drawn to.
Yeah. So I guess I've personally seen mixed responses to how it compares to the Erota campaign, because they're both viral marketing campaigns, but they're really different. And also I feel like this campaign builds on stuff from Erota. So for example, like they noticed in Erota that people created a separate Discord. So this time they created their own Discord so they could moderate it.
Which was very smart.
Which was very smart. And I found people who misbehaved getting booted from the Discord to be hugely amusing. So if any of the Discord listeners, if any of the Discord mods are listening, if you banned some misbehaviors that complained on Twitter, know that you brought me so much joy. Oh my goodness.
Imagine being able to say that you were banned from Harry Styles' official Discord server. Like, I feel like that's like some... that's not a club that you want to be in.
It's not a club that you want to be in. And then, but so many people on Twitter like said that. I would just lie and say I was still in it. Cover up the shame. All right. Anyway, but yeah. So like they clearly learned that from Erota. I don't know. Like I know that some people feel iffy about it, but for me, once people started getting into the cycle of realizing each door opens at noon and there's gonna be like a new thing at noon every day,
it's really fun.
The energy is so fun. Like it's like I know I realize that some people like they took a second to come on board, but like at noon every day I'm so excited. I'm like, what is next? And like the responses to these, like in terms of is this marketing campaign effective, like there's no question that this is a very effective campaign. Let's
open without up. Even tweeting like one tweet, it had like 45,000 Twitter followers. Yeah. I was like, what?
Let's
the engagement's really strong.
Let's open up Discord for a second and talk about how many people are in this Discord server. Let's see. Let's see how many people are in this server now. 125,929 members. In
125,000 people.
120, almost 126,000.
Moderators, 000. I pray for you. Well, the moderators, I'm thinking of you.
They keep adding rooms, I think, to try and like help.
I can't even imagine. Wow, that's a crazy number of people.
Yeah, it's like a really crazy number of people, and like they like it's so many people. They have to like stagger conversations, so you can only send like one message every between 1 and 30 minutes.
That's funny.
And so like it really, in terms of like, is this marketing campaign effective? Like, it's super effective, because that's like more people than lived in my hometown is in that Discord server right now.
It's a very engaged, and Harry has never suffered from a lack of a very engaged audience. That's never something that you could say about him, but it is
something else. Like Last year, Key and I talked about his relationship to the concept of the Verge album, which is like the album before you're like the biggest thing in the world. And we talked about that in our Variety episode. And I said, Key, I think that Fine Line might be that album. And now, like, we're doing promo for Harry's House. And the response on social media is, like, unbelievable. I'm like, oh, my God, Key, I think that Harry Styles is famous.
I know. It's crazy. Crazy. It is interesting because I feel like the visuals are more lower key. So it's like, it's interesting to kind of contrast that with Fine Line, which had such bombastic and, like, you know, technicolor visuals. I find that interesting. But yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about the album cover itself. I think the Erota campaign, the way that happened with, like, some where people thought that it wasn't even for Harry, and there was, like, a bunch of people who were disappointed that it was for him because they thought it was, like, this totally other thing. Like, there's something special about that because it was the first time. But what I really, really like about this is what you're saying, is that kind of community aspect of everybody looking forward to something happening at noon. And yeah, it reminds me a little bit, too, of the countdown for the Watermelon Sugar music video. And it just is a very, very effective way to generate hype.
Yeah. And I do like that there's the element of, right, like you said with Erota, there was, like, a whole faction of people who bought in who, like, were not Harry Styles fans, and there wasn't really that same thing for You Are Home. Like, everybody who was in on it was a Harry Styles fan, and so if the thing
and
was
you don't
for
get
somebody
fooled
else,
twice, like,
right,
like, Harry's claimed it really early, and then he's already done this once. He's already done a viral marketing campaign that ended up being his once. So if you, like, are interested in these things and, like, want to see what it is, like I think you're gonna assume pretty quickly that it's him. Like, because, like, what, like, there's not really a fertile ground for exploring other options at that point. But yeah, it was interesting. I think doing variations on this theme, I think, is fun. I would never want, these things are special because they're singular. And so, like, a fake island and, like that's something so distinct that I hope he never touches on again. Mm-hmm. That was so tailored to that specific music video. So yeah, I'm not opposed to things like this happening again in future albums and future singles, whatever, but yeah, it's fun when they're so tied in specifically to an artistic element. So I hope that respect of it continues.
And it's just so fun seeing people in real time, like, figure things out. Like, obviously, there's, like, the really out there theories, and, like, I don't really know if I, like, super agree with any of those, but it's, like, the figuring out of, like, certain things. Like, I remember people figuring out, okay, so wait, this is not his album bibliography. And then, like, I remember people figuring out, wait a second, are these song lyrics? And then a few days later, them figuring out, oh, like, each door is a track on the album, and because there's 13, the doors will finish next Friday. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, like,
yeah,
all of, like, the piecing together is really fun. Although it did mean that yesterday we realized that we were not going to have a single today.
But I have a sneaking suspicion that by the time I manage to get this episode on the air, there will not be long to wait before we get one. Yeah. So yeah, we have things to look forward to. It's like, I'm honestly not even feeling rushed at this point. Like, no. I can't wait for new music, but yeah, it's like every day we get a little something more. So
yeah
it helps tide it over for me, definitely.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So we have to move on, but we are going to talk about the album cover now. I am very amused by this little Architecture Digest description of the album cover for Harry's House, which will be out May 20th. So pre-save on Spotify, pre-add on Apple Music, buy your
CDs.
Less
than 2 months. That's insane.
Buy your vinyl. I'm so excited to buy this on vinyl. You don't even know. Like, I want him to give me the option to pre-order on vinyl already. I'm ready for it. My body is ready. Whatever. He's withholding from me. I get it.
Well, Harry's like a huge vinyl seller. There was all that stuff when Adele's 30 came out where there was like, they were like, every vinyl record factory is only printing Adele's 30 for 4 months prior to her release. Like, it's like, there's like a lot there of like supply chain stuff that I'm not cued in on. So let us all manifest that all that ends up okay for Harry.
I know. I'm sure that right now, like, every record store owner is, like, cursing the name of Harry's house. But I'm very excited because I want to listen to one. I really have, in my old age, grown to enjoy listening to physical copies of music. So, I'm very excited. But yeah, I will read out this, and I will try to be quick about it, but I'm going to read out this little description Architecture Digest had to say about the album cover. So the image depicts the pop star standing upside down on the ceiling of a sparse living room, hand on hip, with the other one delicately placed on his chin. Harry poses like the thinking face emoji. It begs the question, is this man mid-thought or in a deep state of confusion? Perhaps he's also wondering why there's a vase of pink tulips on the floor. Of course, the only pieces of furniture in view are vintage. I spent the past 72 hours on every corner of the internet trying to identify them all, but there are some mysteries that are too complex to solve. The charming aesthetic curated by creative director Molly Hawkins and set designer Patience Harding is a minimalist, grand millennialist fantasy.
Wow, a lot of words in there.
I know, especially with the beige walls and carpet. Natural light pours through the pearly white lace curtains and the window opposite a pleated table lamp and a plate of what appears to be a single sunny-side-up egg carefully placed on a tiny table.
Very cute detail.
Very cute. Even though there isn't much going on in this scene, what I've gathered from it is that this is not an empty house. In contrast to being read as nobody's home, Harry's house feels like it's truly been lived in. There's a palpable warmth penetrating through the room with an air of tenderness. All are welcome and it beckons, please come inside my most intimate space. Observing from another angle, this room is the polar opposite of the damn bitch who lived like this meme, starring Max and Roxanne from Disney's 1995 classic A Goofy Movie. Well, it's clearly a metaphor for the house inside his mind.
Yeah, so that kind of that I... My apologies in the doc that quote just cuts off, because I just liked that phrase that it's a mm-hmm. metaphor for the house inside his mind. Like, I think that kind of gives us a lot of room to speak from and discuss from. But yeah, that's mm-hmm. it's like, it's interesting because it is pretty minimalist. It's like there's all different directions you could go from here, because it is warm. There's like warm colors, but it's also neutrals. Mm-hmm. It's not like to me, this album cover is not like the most cozy, I want to go sit there in a nook and read my book forever type vibe. That's like not really what it is. So
yeah, it definitely was a different reaction to the cover that I had, although I wanted to share this first because Architecture Digest describing it like this was super cute. Second, because I think it's an interesting jumping off point for conversation. And right. Third, because I know that some people that I know had this reaction to it. But I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the room being upside down kind of gives it an air of like alienation. Like it's very much kind of the photo of the world itself being upside down behind one of the doors on, I think, day three. Mm. And just kind of like him being like, this space seems familiar, but something is a little off to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So like, yeah, so I think obviously we're going to get into that kind of as we break down this image, but just overall, like, what did you think of it? Like, do you like it? What are your thoughts on the album cover?
I love it.
We finally have it.
I love it so much. I'm going to talk about the elements that I loved it. So these are some of the unique set features and images that jumped out to me, and you can add in anything as you see fit. Obviously, that the room is upside down and Harry is standing on the ceiling. How did he get up there? I don't know. Is he confused about the room, perhaps? Is he lost? Maybe we're all a little lost. I love the splashes of pink and yellow to offset the general beige and brown colors. It's very 70s. Immediately when I saw it, this is like such a niche reference, and I don't know who is going to get it, but if one of our listeners understands this reference, I feel like they're going to think it's really funny. So there's like this Documentary Now episode spoofing the documentary for Company, the musical, And it's like this very like 70s pastiche. And so Renee Elise Goldsberry, she sings this song about really wanting a co-op apartment. And it's in the 70s, so she's singing about all of the features in the apartment. And she sings over and over again, and the brown and the beige and the brown and the beige and the beige and the brown.
Wait, that's funny.
And so when I saw this image, and my brain was just like, and the brown and the beige and the brown and the beige and the beige and the brown.
See, I get that reference, but it's only because Gray forced me to watch that episode of Documentary Now. So, yeah, you can thank yourself for your co-host understanding that joke.
Yeah, I know. I did force Key to watch it because he hates.
It was good.
He hates musicals, and
I'm a known theater and musical hater. I should say that we're being sarcastic because I'm a massive theater kid and theater dork, and actively am thinking, perhaps cringily, of The World is Upside Down part of Hamilton while we have this entire conversation, because after you said that one quote.
I think that I sent that to the group chat, but I think that of the two hosts, like, I'm the less surprising theater kid.
Because I just come across so cool, calm, and collected over the airwaves, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and like...
Exactly.
I also know that I sound a certain way. We won't get into it. It's fine. Yeah, so I noticed that there's tulips in the room, so I looked up the meaning of tulips after confirming with some of my flower-oriented friends who did confirm that they were tulips before I did this analysis. The flower dictionary says pink tulips symbolize happiness and confidence. And I noted that, like, the yellow in the lamp and, like, the egg is also a color traditionally associated with happiness. So there's kind of, like, there is kind of, like, some of the happy colors that are in the room, even, like, it's not, like, it's maybe, like, a confusing room, but it's not, like, a hugely, like, negative space. The egg is very domestic, and... I think, yeah, those were the main commentary that I had. Key, please tell me all of your thoughts and things that you noticed from the album cover.
Yeah, I really like it. I did kind of think, like, I was thinking, you know, we were thinking that Harry was probably going to have a quarantine album. And again, I'm sure that he will break down that phrase and disrupt it and talk about how all the ways in which this album isn't a quarantine album. But it certainly seems like that's what it's going to be like from where we're standing now. So I kind of thought that we were going to go with, I was thinking like natural colors, like nature colors, but it's like neutral, which is like kind of in that same realm. And I think it's interesting because it's such a zag in comparison to Fine Line. Like Fine Line was so technicolor, and this is like so the opposite of that, which I think is just pleasing. Kind of like we all love an artist who has eras. And so to kind of differentiate so strongly between kind of what we had before and what this is like fun and kind of makes me look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the future. And yeah, I don't know.
It's so gentle and lovely.
Yeah, it is gentle. It still has these notes where it's like it's warm enough and it has that dash of pink enough that it looks good with the two other albums, you know, all lined up in a row. So that's nice. And yeah, I don't know. Again, it just gets me thinking about all those themes that we were talking about before in terms of like the architecture, and also you think of like home and like the different things that home means, and like when you're stuck in your home and when you're stuck in your house, like what that gets you to think of, and like, you know, there's a lot of like fertile ground there that I think I'm looking forward to hearing him talk about in interviews and explore through the album itself. And yeah, I really like it. I'm interested to see, having heard the album, like how it's reflected and how the visuals in the album cover are kind of reflected by the music itself. I'm really looking forward to kind of pairing those two things together.
Yeah, it is interesting having the album cover and not having the rest of the album photo shoot or even the album itself.
Or even a single, which is different than the last rollout. Right. Like, I really thought we were going to get a single first just because...
Me too.
Like, I have no memory of, like, I was not around for Harry Styles, like, HS1, the first album. And so I know that Sign of the Times was out first, but I don't know, like, what the exact sequencing of all that was. So really my only frame of reference here is the last album rollout. And so I really expected to get a single first before the announcement of the album. I really was kind of thinking the same thing would happen again. So yeah, it's really interesting to kind of have the album cover and the name and not any singles or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. And like, what we haven't really talked about is the name.
Yes. So it's from a Joni Mitchell song.
Yeah, so, you know, we can assume that Harry took inspiration from this Joni Mitchell song, Harry's House/The Centerpiece, and which I should listen to. I'm realizing that I'm a bad Harry Styles podcast host because I did not immediately go listen to that song. I've been listening to Both Sides Now all week, and I did not listen to that specific song, but I should. But Joni Mitchell tweeted about the album, said she liked the album name, which is very cool. She tweeted the lyrics to the song. We know that Harry from Last Era loves Joni Mitchell, mm-hmm. Shouted out Joni Mitchell's Blue as like one of the things that he was really interested in and listening to a lot before Fine Line. So that's, you know, to carry that influence over into the name of this album and kind of like the throwback aesthetics of it, I think is interesting. And yeah, I think it's a really cute album name. I think people initially were like, is this a little too cutesy? But I feel like this cover isn't really cutesy at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe the shirt he's wearing is like a little cutesy, but the aesthetics of the room that he's in and like the kind of disorientation of the furniture on the ceiling, mm-hmm. or I guess him standing on the ceiling and everything else on the floor being in the top of the image, I think that to me is like not cutesy at all. So that's not like that kind of like fear that like it's going to be kind of cheesy or that it's going to kind of lean a little bit too much into that, I don't really have based on the visuals of this. But yeah, looking forward to seeing how that's going to pull through all the lyrics and everything.
Well, and he's so good about pairing the title with the visuals for his albums. Like when I first heard the Target thing, I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but I knew instinctively that I was like, I don't actually know how I'm going to feel about this until I see the album cover, because at least for Fine Line, his album cover was so tied in with the title. And then once I saw the cover art, I was immediately like, yes, I get it. I get like 100% what he's going for. And I love it. I'm like all in. I love that, like, so like, I love that the album is named after a Joni Mitchell song. And he kind of looks like he's wearing an outfit that maybe Joni Mitchell would have worn in the 70s.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's a cute... We didn't really talk about the outfit too much, but I like the jeans a lot. It's a cute outfit. I think, like, it's just so different from Fine Line, just, like, in every way. Like, it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, from the color palette to the photography and, like, the style of the image and the album name is really different. So I just... For that to be my only, like, obviously I've listened to HS1 and, like, I know that album and I know the visuals of that album, but Fine Line was really the album that I was here for and present for and, like, actively following the rollout. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm just so curious to see how this all plays into the whole album itself. And it's, I said, I think when we were discussing the last album shoot, I think we talked about what we expected from the next album cover and like, what do we want Harry to do? And I was like, I just wanted to surprise me, mm-hmm. because Fine Line is just never an image that I would have come up with. And I think I feel similarly about this. I think you can see some of the influences in this image. Like, you know, I think somebody shouted out on Twitter, Howard Cohen shouted out that the imagery is reminiscent of one of the Fleetwood Mac Tusk album package photos. So it's like this similar kind of beige people, like room turned upside down kind of look, which I think certainly looks like a visual influence, but I do feel like it's something that like Harry has never had an issue like nailing the visual element and things like this. Like I just think it's distinctive and it has influences that you can follow, but it still feels like something that is independent and unique at this particular moment in time. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. I guess like one last thing I'd like to mention is I was very surprised that the cover of the album was not Gucci. He's working with Molly Goddard on the cover of the album, and it's like one of her spring summer 22 looks, but it's customized to have pink instead of blue, which is so cute. And also, I would like to note that whoever tussled his hair to look like he just rolled out of bed to wander around this upside down house, you are my
That's
best
true.
friend.
It is cute and very different from anything we've seen from him in official photography before.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really give the whole, like, I just walked, you know. He's giving, maybe I don't have to leave the house right now, so I haven't showered in a few days, realness, but...
Wow, representation. That's what we call representation. You're reminding me, so this is like, and I think this is good, and like these are the things that we should be talking about in this episode, so this is going to feel like kind of like a tangent or a retread, but I think these are the conversations we should be having about this, is like, I think what you're reminding me of with the things you're saying is like, there's such fertile ground here for something that Harry plays a lot with, which is privacy and the internal and the external, and like him as a celebrity figure and how much he shares with the public versus what he doesn't share. And I think architecture and your home and like your album cover being a picture of a house that you're in, but it's upside down. There's like a lot of room there for explorations of that kind of theme and of like how much you let people in, especially because it's called Harry's house.
Yeah, how much are they like, letting us in? Because like, because like, remember when he did the Stand Up to Cancer thing this year, and they were like, it's going to be Harry Styles doing domestic tasks, and then he literally did the domestic tasks in a TV studio.
Yeah,
he didn't. He's not letting you into his actual house,
right? So like, that's an interesting idea, and like, what this album could mean in terms of like letting people into things that maybe they wouldn't have seen at other avenues because he's private, and that kind of makes me think of what you're saying about how it's not Gucci. I was thinking like we were thinking we were going to get some Bodhi in this era, which I think we definitely will, and I think works so well with the visuals that we've already just seen. I think like the whole creative ethos of Bodhi like works so well with everything that we're talking about, and so I hope to see them in like future photo shoots, etc. But just looking at this image, like I think it's such a contrast to have him in like jeans. That's like such more of a casual vibe than the Fine Line album shoot, and like there's something there with that too about like less of the performance aspect and more of like the, you know, the internal aspect. And so I don't know, I'm just, these are all things I'm thinking about going into us getting the single next week and what that's going to be like and everything that's going to come up.
Notably, for a subtle note on performance, the shoes he's wearing are lace-up ballet flats underneath those jeans.
That's true. Oh, and that, okay, can this kind of lead us into the video?
Yes.
Because these themes actually work really well with some of the things that are explored in the little album teaser video too, because he's on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Harry's house, but it's like a stage set. It's a set and it's on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're trying to think of, okay, maybe this is a quarantine album, isolation record, like you're inside your house. It's about your little literal house. But then we think of, okay, home, he's on a stage. He just was on tour. Like, could that be the connotation of that, like where your home is, different places where you find home, like, and that brings up all these things about, you know, the public and the private, and like having your home be on stage, that's like an external place where other people are coming to see you. Like, I think that all that kind of comes together with that too. Like, what were your kind of general thoughts on the album teaser video?
Well, my first general thoughts on the album video were, you know, I had my
that's what the people come to this podcast.
Yeah, they I couldn't type.
Feral screaming.
I was screaming ferally internally. I couldn't type words, and I was just like very speechless for a while. And then I watched it a few times, and I just thought it was neat. And then I listened to it backwards. And it's a snippet of a song, and the song is making me insane. There's like percussion in the song, and I want to know whose percussion it is, because there's a part of it that like ticks like a clock, and it's doing things to me.
It's a little poppy. You've got some synths in there, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked, I didn't listen to it too much because I was like, I don't want to, like, I'll leave this where it is. And we don't know, like, I remember, you know, we had heard a snippet of Golden for the, oh, did anybody Shazam it? That must have happened, right? Because people Shazammed the Golden clip that was in the tour like announcement last time, and it like showed up as Golden when it like, when we didn't know that before somebody Shazammed
it. Nobody
Shazammed
it yet. And we're not going to Shazam it on air. But
if nobody's done that, like, maybe I'm wrong and nothing will happen, but just throwing that out there that, like, maybe we should try that. But yeah, who knows? Like, maybe that's the single, maybe it's not, maybe it's a totally unrelated song, maybe it's like not even a song, maybe it's mm-hmm. like an extended, like, when the Adore You trailer happened, we got a snippet of the music for the trailer that wasn't the actual song. It was like an extended, you know, clip music that sounds like the song but doesn't actually appear in the song. So like there's a lot of different versions of that what that could be. But I really liked what we heard in the song snippet as well. And somebody I saw actually Tyler Oakley tweet on Twitter like mm-hmm. Harry Styles house music era. And I very firmly don't think that this is going to be a house record, but I was thinking about a lot of different things mm-hmm. when listening to that clip.
Yeah, no, I just made me want the single so bad. Those are the only thoughts that I have on it, really. I mean, like, I was so excited to know that this is happening. I've been wanting this for such a long time, and it, you know, it's just very exciting. But yeah, I'm looking forward to his little Joni Mitchell singer-songwriter era, wearing little, you know, cute little peasant hippie clothes and...
That is one prediction that I kind of got right. I feel like that vibe was kind of like, if that ends up being the vibe, that is kind of what I was, that my wavelength mm-hmm. was on. Like, yes, we were a year too early, but we're journalists, folks.
We're journalists.
And I want to make clear when I say that I'm kidding, and please don't come at us with accusations of lack of journalistic integrity. But yeah, I just want to say, like, to kind of wrap all this up, I'm just so excited to do this and to have the album, and it just doesn't quite feel real at this point because I feel like we've been anticipating it for so long that I'm just like, what? We actually have it and it's actually coming. And I think part of the reason why it doesn't feel real is because he hasn't talked about it. And, like, maybe this part of the podcast is going to age like milk because, like,
oh, definitely a day from now, it's going to age.
He's going to drop, like, a huge expose interview and I'll be totally wrong. But, like, right now, we've heard nothing. He's literally posted the one Instagram post and Lord knows he didn't press send on that tweet. And then that's it. And that's all we have is that, like, the name of the album. And that's the only thing that was in there. So I'm feeling like I want to hear from him. Like, there are so many things to anticipate. Like, a long-form interview, like the one he did with Zane Lowe. Like, a profile. Like, there's so many things that are coming that are part and parcel with, obviously, the music which we're getting in 2 months. That mm-hmm. is just, God, so much to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to a lot in the next few months. I guess it's like dating someone new or having an affair or something. I'm like, oh, I gotta figure out where to fit Harry Styles into my schedule for the next 2 months, you know? Like, he's in town.
This will actually lead us into the outro in a little bit because we normally talk about like non-Harry things, book, movie, TV recs, and like one thing I'm really gonna try to do is just spend less time on Twitter. And maybe spending less time on Twitter will allow me to like have more room to percolate on like the actual things that are happening. And maybe I'll fail at that miserably and constantly be checking it because I need constant feedback about every single element of this album rollout. But if we're looking for time in our schedules, maybe less time on Twitter is like the place that we can make room there.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's bringing me joy in this difficult time is Our Flag Means Death, which is a pirate show on HBO that stars Taika Waititi as a sexy Blackbeard who is also in love with another pirate. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we've been watching that together. It's been super fun. I am a known fan of piracy. And when I say that, I mean like fictional media about the high seas and not like, I mean, I guess I'm sort of a fan of also like modern piracy of the pirating media kind. Although I guess I'm saying that on a public platform, so... I lied. That was a lie. Don't come for me for that.
We respect the law.
So that's a show that's been great, and it's just very queer and very fun, and just a fun comedy that if you need something that's like on the lighter side that is gonna bring you joy, that's something that we both recommend.
Is there anything else that you've been interested in, Key?
Yeah, so I would say the show Severance is like something I've really, really been loving. And I think there's only one more episode of that. So look out for that. It's on Apple TV Plus, and it's been airing weekly, but yeah, most of the season is on there by now. Apple TV Plus, you can get a free trial for a week and watch the entire thing. It also is like a very cheap streaming service, so I have no plans of being a long-term subscriber of Apple TV Plus, but I'm there to watch Severance because I really like that show. Basically, it's like kind of like an anti-workplace dramedy. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's just a really interesting show about what if work-life balance but literal is like the pithy pitch of it. And then there's just all these interesting things. John Turturro is in it, Christopher Walken, Zach Cherry, Adam Scott. It's like I'm really, really enjoying it, and I think it's really good. So
Yeah.
jump into my DMs to discuss theories on that if you want, if you're watching it. And yeah, so I guess TV is big for us right now.
Yeah, definitely. I guess I'm just, I don't know. Sometimes my music listening is embarrassing for the month, so I don't share it. let's.
Solely the first half of the soundtrack album of High School Musical 3 has been Gray's on repeat record of this month, guys. Not that
Nope,
there's
I
anything
was
to note
doing a
about
lot of editing work at work and listening to Hamilton all month. And
that.
our listeners, this is me being vulnerable with you. I listened to it a lot when I was getting my bachelor's degree, and then it's just one of those things that I can edit to without thinking about it. So it's just like time to put on Hamilton, and I do get like more cognitive dissonance about it now, but the cognitive dissonance about it, like, it doesn't stop me from focusing on editing.
I really did not think, like, if we're going to start out this podcast thinking about what we're going to talk about, we've talked about Hamilton twice on this podcast episode, and that's
Oof.
just like never something that I would
Oof.
have anticipated from the beginning. But
Yeah,
yeah, so
it,
that's
but it
certainly
happened.
something.
It happened. So yeah, Key, do you want to take us out of here on that slightly cringe note?
I certainly will. You can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com on Twitter and Tumblr. We can be found at Harry Styles Pod. Follow us there, DM us there if you have any suggestions. Let us know what you think of the show. Another way to let us know what you think of the show is to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or anywhere else you're able to provide feedback. We'd so appreciate it if you just took a second and gave us a rating if you enjoy it.
Subscribe to some of your preferred podcast hosts to become notified of our next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Do it now.